I start off this hour talking about it's a list that nobody wants to be on. It's the list, it's the GAO high risk list, and the Defense Department actually cut the time it takes on average to complete a personnel security clearance, less than 50 days. DOD's progress in reducing the wait for security clearances, it's one of the reasons it is no longer on that dreaded list on GAO's biannual high risk list. Lawmakers are pointing to the progress that DOD made as an example of how they will conduct oversight in the future on these 30 high-risk areas. And Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, he's just out of a session where they detailed all these high-risk, the high-risk list, and the changes to oversight that members of Congress are promising, and he joins us now live. Jason, so let's start with some of the programs that did make the list. No one wants to be on this list, but walk us through some of the things that are on the 2011 list.
You're absolutely right. Nobody ever wants to be on this list, but too often the same ones are always on the list. This includes many of the same programs that are problematic in 2009, the last time GAO actually did the list. Interagency contracting, the Homeland Security Department's transformation, Postal Service finances, DOD contract management, IRS business systems modernization, Medicare and Medicaid programs, and that's just to name the few. Congressman Darrell Issa is the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
Again, this year, only 21 have ever been removed of the original 54 on the list, and today the new list represents 83% of the total executive branch spending. So although not everyone's on the list, for all practical purposes, all the real money is on the list.
Now, as Chairman Issa says, the list changes very little year after year. There were two programs that GAO did remove and one they added. The Interior Department's Management of Oil and Gas Resources is the one addition. GAO says it has little confidence in Interior's ability to collect billions of dollars in oil and gas revenues, or they have little confidence in their ability to hire, train, and retain the staff to provide the oversight. Gene Dudar is the Comptroller General and the head of the GAO.
There could be questions about exactly when we should have put that on the list, but our view was that we needed to understand better the full range of problems over there in order to come up with additional recommendations. The main point I'd emphasize right now is the importance of the issue right now is that it's on the list. And the reason we put it on the list is because there raises visibility and there's a greater likelihood that the problems will be resolved over a period of time. And that is one of the other real benefits of the list, even though a lot of the areas don't come off quickly, they don't come off until they're fixed. And so you have a clear identity focused on that issue.
Now, he says the list is pretty typical to what GAO issues every 2 years in terms of the ones that come off and those that come on. The two programs that did make it off the list are DOD's personnel security clearance process and the 2010 census.
So it's a little troublesome that the big news coming out of this is that something came off the list, and DOD did get their personnel security clearance process off that list. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Dudar says there's two common traits among programs that do get off the list.
The common denominators of how these areas come off the list is through strong congressional oversight. Both the DOD personnel security clearance area and the 2010 census have had more than a dozen congressional hearings since we put those items on the high-risk list. This has sustained attention and held people accountable. Also, the agencies have elevated top-level attention, and that is pivotal. In the security clearance area, for example, DOD and the OMB and OPM and the director of the National Intelligence Agencies have all focused on the committee focus to bring action to this area.
Now, I caught up with Jean St. Laurent, who leads GAO's oversight into personnel security clearances. She was at the press conference today. And I asked her, how do they know that DOD is truly meeting the congressional mandated goal of getting security clearances done within 60 days? St. Laurent says they look at what DOD and others report to complete the security clearance process.
We have in the past done full selected case files and done verification to look at that process in detail.
Can you give me a sense of, do you look at 100 people, 1,000 people? Is there any sense you can give us in terms of how many cases you look at, how much evidence?
It's dependent. At various points of times, we've pulled different sample sizes, ranging from a couple of hundred or so. So, and of course, now that there's more standardized routine reporting, we're more comfortable with the data that the Department of Defense is producing on a routine basis.
Now, St. Laurent says GAO just focused on DOD meeting that 60-day mandate. She says the results of civilian agencies meeting that goal is mixed, but since DOD accounts for about the vast majority of all federal security clearances, that's why they were on the high-risk list.
So part of the interesting part about this list is Congress uses it really to sort of guide their oversight. What are they saying?
They're making lots of promises because obviously there's a lot of frustration over the issues that continue to be on the list year after year after year. Senator Daniel Akaka says the Federal Management Subcommittee that he is the chairman of, they held 7 hearings on the security clearance process over the last 2 years, and he says that's the model that the subcommittee will use on some of the other issues. Senator Susan Collins says the GAO high-risk list will serve as a guide for the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee's oversight plan.
The size of the deficit makes aggressive oversight even more important than it ever has been. I've learned that you have to have sustained oversight. And so I think one of the lessons is even though you can make gains, unless you keep sustained oversight going of these programs, they tend to fall back and end up back on the list again.
Now, she says two of the programs, the Postal Services, and that's their financial survivability, if you will. And
yeah, they're make or break. Are they going to be around?
Once again, yeah. And cybersecurity will need legislative changes to push the reform process along. So she's going to introduce 2 new bills in the coming days, including the cybersecurity legislation that her, Senator Joseph Lieberman, Senator Tom Carper have authored and introduced last session. They're going to reintroduce it this session. Senator Joseph Lieberman, who's the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, says he called the oversight of the programs more intense than in previous years. Now, on the House side, Congressman Elijah Cummings is the ranking member of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and he describes the tact his committee will take.
We will be asking these various agencies, how long is it going to take you to straighten up and fly right? And then what we want them to tell us is when they'll be able to do it, and then we bring them back in to the committee and say, have you done it? Because other than that, we'll be year after year, as Senator Collins was saying, year after year doing the same thing. And then 10 years from now, a whole new Congress will be coming in and hearing the same complaints, only they would have gotten worse.
So, you know, for agencies, and specifically the ones called out on the list, and the ones such as the Office of Management and Budget, of course, they should expect more hearings, more GAO reports, and, if you will, a lot less patience from what I can tell from Capitol Hill when it comes to programs that continue to have problems and really teeter on failure. And we have a link to the full report online, federalnewsradio.com, so listeners can check that out, the full list of 30 programs, and see who made the list.
So I was reading it last night, and first off, I'm sure people will be thrilled to hear that if they're on that list, they're going to get even more hearings.
Well, I think that should be almost expected in many ways, because if there are problems that aren't being taken care of and they remain on the list, like, for instance, interagency contracting, DHS transformation, I mean, these are things that year after year that agencies still struggle with. Congress has nothing, you know, that's their best way to solve the problem. And as they point to the personal security clearance issue, listen, you know, they had 7 hearings just on the Senate side alone, a dozen when you look at the House and Senate together. So they believe that that's the way to affect change.
But it seems to me, a lot of these programs, interagency contracting, we've known that that has been a problem. Part of the reason it's been a problem is it's so complex. And some of the programs are on the list because they haven't had the resources and the attention. They just don't have all the pieces to be successful. Is there any, we're sitting in a year where it's 6 months in and the agencies don't have their budgets yet. Is any recognition of that, of the Congress's role in this?
Well, you just want to make it easy on the agencies, don't you?
No, not at all. It's two sides of Pennsylvania Avenue, for goodness sakes.
Well, I think the Congress sees their role as they do as the idea of oversight and of calling attention to the issues that need the most work. And by having the hearings, they're focusing the agency on that specific issue, asking, what are you doing to fix this? And then, you know, I think it's up to the agencies to come back to Congress and say, okay, this is an issue that you've pointed out to us. You've had hearings. We need some more help. We need some more resources. We need some more funding. We need some more people, whatever it is. And I think Congress does play a role, but until they're told in terms of what the agencies tell them what they need, Congress is going to sit back and just kind of wag that finger at them and say, shame on you, you should do better.
I know there was often frustration, and back in the Bush administration when they had a high-risk list as well, there was often frustration, okay, I can't get off the list. Just having one program that moved off the list has to be kind of hopeful to these other programs.
I think absolutely. I mean, and this GAO high-risk list has been going on for more than a decade. People know why you get on it, how you get on it, and they know how you get off of it, too. I think with the last administration's high-risk list, that was focused on technology projects, and there was they held it super secret for a little while until Congress actually forced them to reveal why they're on it and how they're on it. So I think this is a little different. But there are things, you know, GAO and Gene Dodaro says there are things you can do to get off the list. It's no secret. It's not you know, magic. Just follow our recommendations, meet goals, and things can get better. And DOD is a perfect example. I remember HUD got off the list, I think, 2 years ago. So each year you see someone else making the move. FAA, Next Gen, the air traffic control system, I think they got off the list 2 years ago as well.
And GAO have any sense as to, GAO long recommended a chief management officer at DOD, and it seems to have helped DOD manage some of these big programs.
Absolutely. One of the big things that came out that they did not talk about the press conference, but when you read the report, DOD didn't just make progress in the personal security clearances. They made progress on the weapon systems acquisitions. They made progress on supply chain management. They made progress on how they manage their base operating services. And while those, the last three, are still on the list, as GAO says, they've narrowed the scope. In fact, GAO narrowed the scope around human capital management as well across the government and DHS transformation. They said things are getting better. We're seeing progress, as well as federal real property management. So there's a lot of actually good news on this. The Interior Department is probably the biggest bad news, but that's not so surprising given what they went through over the last year.
Yeah. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, as he mentioned, the full list, you can read it for yourself, federalnewsradio.com, read the entire report, and you'll have more tomorrow.
More tomorrow on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris, Amy Morris. Wow, that's been a while, hasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and it's actually Francis Rose tomorrow.
That's right, and we'll have more online. I have a story up there now. We're going to update that story later today.
Perfect. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Thank you, Jason. And I should also mention that tomorrow right here, we will be talking to Gene Dodaro himself, the Comptroller General of the head of GAO, and we'll ask him some of these questions. And if you want to chime in on questions, we have a Facebook page. We have a GovLoop page. However, let us know what questions we should be asking about the high-risk list. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And we'll talk to him tomorrow right here on the Dora Beck Insider.